friends, and welcome to season four of A Meaningful Mess podcast. I am so honored, so excited that you decided to listen, and I hope that you enjoy what you hear. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I am a wife, mom, author, digital innovation specialist, and passionate educator that believes in today's learners. I'm so glad that you found the podcast, and I can't wait to share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize in your classroom and beyond. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared each week will help you find meaning in your mess. After you listen, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and share the podcast with anyone that you think might find it helpful. You can also connect with me over on my website at andymcnair.com, on Twitter at McNairAN3, and on Facebook and Instagram at A Meaningful Mess. Thanks for being here today. Let's get started. Welcome back to A Meaningful Mess podcast. Well, as you know, last week's episode, I talked about gifted kid burnout, and this is just something that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. And I was recently talking to my friend, Brian Housand. I have so much respect for him and his work, and we were talking about this and the things we were seeing on TikTok and social media, and we decided that we would just sit down and have a conversation about this and record it on Facebook, and so we did. And so you can actually watch this episode and see us have this conversation on my Facebook page at A Meaningful Mess, or you could also see it on Instagram by just finding me there, @_meaningful_mess. But it was such a great conversation and such a good opportunity for us to just say out loud, this isn't something new. It's something that both of us have seen our learners experience. On some levels, we've experienced it ourselves. And so just a really, I think, important conversation, and it was really cool to hear Brian's perspective as well. And so I can't wait for you guys to hear this. I wanted to put it out here as a podcast as well in case you aren't able to catch the video. So I hope this is helpful. I hope it helps you see gifted kid burnout from an even clearer perspective and just helps us start having the conversation. That was our goal. Like, let's just start having the conversation. Let's acknowledge that this is a reality and see where it goes from there. So I hope you guys enjoy listening to my conversation with Brian Housand about gifted kid burnout. Here we go. Hey, you guys. Well, it is 10 o'clock. And so I have been talking about this on Instagram and sharing about it on social media. I am so excited for this conversation. If I haven't met you before, I'm Andy McNair, and this is my page, A Meaningful Mess. And I am so excited to have this conversation today with my special guest, Brian Housand. And so Brian is going to share, I'm going to let him introduce himself instead of me introducing him. And then we're going to talk about what exactly it is we're going to be talking about today. All right, Brian, I'm so glad you're here. Go ahead and jump in and introduce yourself.
Great. Hey, Andy, thank you so much for inviting me to this conversation and really kicking off, I think, what's going to be a pretty exciting investigation for the two of us. My name is Brian Housand. I grew up as a gifted kid. I have worked in education now for over 20 years. I'm a frequent gifted ed consultant. I guess my primary day job is that I coordinate the gifted licensure program here at the University of North Carolina in Wilmington, North Carolina. I also teach courses for the Bridges Graduate School of Neurodiversity. That's associated with the Bridges School in the Los Angeles area. And just classic gifted kid, gifted adult, super geeky. I love Star Wars, Lego, Disney, and fonts. So that's about it.
You do love fonts. Every time I hear you talk, there's fonts involved for sure.
Fonts save lives.
This is going to be so fun. Sorry if you were watching and I was like ducking down below. Look, A Meaningful Mess is not an accident. That is legit the story of my life. So like, we started recording, my computer was, we had some issues, technical issues before. And then my computer was like, it was about to die. So I was like, oh, I should probably plug it in. So sorry about that. But I am so excited that Brian is here. So we just got back, Brian and I both, not long ago from Gifted 21, which is the state GT conference here in Texas. I'm in Texas. Brian is not in Texas. But we are always able to connect and collaborate at that conference. And this year it was amazing. I think partly because it was our first year back from a break because of COVID. And it was just nice to all be in the same place, in the same room. And we were able to have lots of conversations, Brian and myself, about just things that gifted learners are experiencing and things that we are experiencing and seeing. And just recently, we connected around this topic of gifted kid burnout. And so whether or not you've heard that phrase, if you're in gifted education, I would imagine that you will be hearing it soon because it is something that's starting to be talked about often. And so I wanted to just kind of start the conversation, Brian, with us talking through what is gifted kid burnout? Like if they haven't heard about it at all, or if they don't know that it exists, what would you say gifted kid burnout is?
Yeah, well, again, Andy, thank you for inviting me to this conversation, because I do think that it is something that is really important. And as we look at kind of that hashtag gifted kid burnout, and we really see what's going on the internet and social media, then it's something that's been like really kind of percolating and really developing over the course of the past year. I think that oftentimes as teachers, we never have time to keep up with our TikTok and our Twitter in the way that that the kids are doing. And so we're, I think, a little slow to the game on this. Basically, it's kind of this trending meme on social media platforms like TikTok, where gifted adolescents and young adults are sharing their struggles, really, to find a place in the world after they've lived what they have kind of perceived to be the life of ease as a gifted kid. Now, just on TikTok, the hashtag gifted kid burnout has over 135 million views. And if you want to know what it looks like, my suggestion would be to start there. I also have a word of caution to make sure that you are in a good mental state of mind, because what you see there is probably going to break your heart. I'm going to also recommend that you probably set a timer for yourself, at least on that first dip into that pool. I'm going to suggest 5 minutes, and then you can go down what I've been referring to as the rabbit hole of despair. Basically, I mean, it's not, gifted kid burnout isn't anything new. Instead, I think that it's really adolescents and teens using the technology that they've grown up with and this worldwide platform that they have to broadcast their individual and shared experiences. They're really starting the conversation, and they're letting everyone know that growing up and being constantly told how smart you are, constantly facing very little challenge, and having most things just really kind of come easily to you, especially academic things, doesn't necessarily prepare you for life. You know, and once the accolades and the gold stars and the constant awards go away, many of these teens and young adolescents or young adults are wondering, am I smart? Was I ever smart? And now, why are things so hard? Like, I thought I was smart. Was all of this just a lie? And how do I deal with that?
Yeah, I think, man, that's so true. And I love the idea of setting a timer for yourself, because it's hard to watch, especially when you advocate for gifted learners. And for myself, I have gifted learners at home and then taught in the classroom gifted learners as well. And so it's very near and dear to my heart. So to see them experiencing this beyond the walls of the classroom, it is really hard to see and hard to watch. But I think one of the things that I have really tried to tell myself as I've kind of been able to dive into gifted kid burnout is this is their reality. And I love that they have a place to share that and to be able to say, hey, look, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing as a result of what happened at school. And I don't think that necessarily means that we're doing it wrong or that there's anything bad about school, but it is an opportunity for us to reflect and say, hey, are we missing the mark somewhere? And how can we figure out a way to listen to what these kids are saying on social media and respond to that? And I think that's the key. I know that's a conversation you and I have been having, is it's about responding to this right now. And even though this is not a new idea or new topic, it's not like this is just starting to happen with this generation. It's been happening for a while. There's now a name for it, and they're using their voices to tell us that this is something that's happening. So I think for sure, as educators, not being afraid to get into that space, whether it be TikTok or Twitter or wherever it is that they're sharing their voices, listening to them, and really now doing now and kind of having the conversation of what do we do moving forward. So I love that. So hopefully you guys have a clear kind of perspective of what gifted kid burnout is. And like Brian said, if you're still kind of like, I'm still not sure exactly what it is, just check out the hashtag. I would also advise, be sure you're watching. TikTok is never a good idea to watch in a room with little kids or with the sound up. Always make sure that you're in a space where, you know.
It is the Wild West. And yeah. you never know what's going to happen. But I think that that's kind of, it's a little bit scary at times, but mm-hmm. I think that it's also raw and real. And we need to be prepared for what it is that we might see there.
Yeah, 100%. So I think we kind of talked about this, but you know, as I just said, this isn't a new thing. I mean, this is something that gifted learners have probably for sure, actually been experiencing for quite some time. Do you think that it's just becoming the conversation now more so because they're sharing their voice, or do you think there's something else that's driving that?
I mean, I think that it really, in my mind, is because of social media and them having this incredibly loud megaphone that they can broadcast their message to anyone and everyone. And, you know, as we've said here multiple times already at this point, it's not a new experience. But I do think that in many ways it is kind of this public cry for help, because, you know, they want to be seen and they want to be recognized, and they're saying, hey, this is what's going on with me. And here are the things that I am struggling with, which mm-hmm. in that regard, I think is incredibly positive. I guess one of my also kind of big concerns is that it might be in some way sort of this return to, how do I receive this validation for what it is that I'm going through? Mm-hmm. Because so much of social media is driven off how many followers do you have and how many clicks and likes do you have? Then you're sharing yourself in kind of that hopes of, gosh, now, you know, people are really going to like what it is that I have to say about that. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that presents a pretty interesting wrinkle that, like, I'm really looking, you know, forward to kind of us continuing to unpack that and having other people working with us as we invite everyone to the conversation to really think about how do we better deal with that as educators and as advocates for the gifted.
I think one really positive aspect of this, if we think about, you know, them using their voices and sharing how they're feeling as a result of what they've experienced, is, you know, social emotional learning is such a big conversation right now. And how do we make that more of a priority while still doing the things we have to do in the classroom? And one of those skills is self-awareness. And I would say that as you watch these TikToks and you listen to these learners, it's very evident that they are self-aware, right? They're thinking through, this is what I feel, this is what I've experienced, and this is what I'm seeing as a result of that. So self-awareness, I think, is becoming more of a skill that they have and that they're willing to talk about. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a positive for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So perfect. So thinking through that, I want to kind of talk about, and Brian and I were talking about before we hopped on, you know, there's so much research being done on this and so many conversations that are happening, so much to still be learned, but just wanted to share a little bit about what we know or what we think we know, just the kind of things of, you know, this is where we can see this going because of our work with gifted learners. So let's just have the conversation of what we think might cause burnout in gifted learners. I think about the students that I had elementary students, K through five, in a GT classroom. And I can even think about times in my classroom, I can think about learners where if I knew them now, I could see burnout being their reality because of a few things. But Brian, go ahead and share, what do you think could contribute to burnout in gifted learners?
Yeah, you know, Andy, I think that you're absolutely right. You know, as I think about, you know, back to my, you know, gifted classroom experiences, and I also was in the elementary classroom, and you could see it then. Like, you could see it in, you know, a third grader that would kind of hit that wall really for the first time. And they would really start to question what it is that they're doing and thinking and feeling. And it's, you know, it's just, I think it's hard when you see it, and that we always want to be, you know, part of the solution to that, and really kind of helping them through that experience. As I was thinking about this question and, you know, maybe what some of the causes are of this, I was reminded that, you know, you have the six P's of Genius Hour that are out there. I'm a big fan of alliteration. And as I've kind of talked about this idea related to the gifted experience over the past years, I've often framed it as the three P's. And so I'm gonna propose maybe that we talk about the three P's of gifted kid burnout. The first P is perfectionism, which is that really just ugly, messy onion of a thing, an experience. So many of our gifted kids at that early age have that expectation of being perfect at everything placed upon them. Really, and honestly, that so often comes out of love from their parents, from their teachers. We start telling them early on just how smart they are. We never really explain what being smart means. They fall into that trap of thinking that smart means doing things quickly and easily with very little effort and always at that 100% mark. When we ask our kids, oh gosh, you know, you only got a 97 on that. Like, what was it that you missed? Instead of saying, gosh, you got a 97 on that. Like, that's, you know, you mastered almost all of the content. And really using that as kind of the celebration piece. Or I think perhaps more importantly, what did you learn as a result of this? Not what is your grade as a part of that? I think that the first P really comes around that dealing with perfectionism, which so many of our gifted learners experience as kids, and also that carries on into adulthood. The second P, I think, of that perfectionism piece often demonstrates itself as procrastination. That if you have these expectations to be perfect in all things, then suddenly you start either creating challenge for yourself if there's no challenge, or you start making excuses about why you can't do the things with at that perfect level. And so I think many of our gifted kids, they delay that start of the project till it's closer to the end because they like that adrenaline rush that goes along with them pushing themselves to that final deadline. That's a bad way to set yourself up. Procrastination is real. It's something that I have continually struggled with throughout my entire life. And it's something that we just need to have a conversation around. Because if we don't talk about perfectionism and procrastination, then I think that we get to the real hard part of the gifted kid burnout. And that's the third P, which is paralysis, where they're so afraid to do anything, to take any steps to move forward at all, for that fear of making mistakes. And they're just stuck, like, right there. And they can't do anything with it. So those are my three P's, perfectionism, procrastination, and paralysis.
I love them. I'm all up for, yeah, obviously the six P's, the three E's, the three P's, I'm all about them. But I love those. And I think when we put those into, if we kind of had to put those into a nutshell, it would really be so much of it revolves around our expectations for gifted learners. I think, number one, I think one of the best things we can do in education right now is to really help educators and parents understand what giftedness really is. Because I think when we hear the word gifted, automatically our expectations of that learner changes. And they feel that and they see that. And the expectations that they put upon themselves, that changes as well. And so I think all of those things that you talked about, first of all, spot on. And then I think just understanding that so many of those are a result. I know that for me, I really deal with procrastination as well. And if I try to get to the root of that or the core of that, and I think, gosh, why do I wait until the last minute to start writing when I have a deadline? Or why do I wait until the last minute to really start planning whatever it is I'm going to talk about? But it is always, if I really am vulnerable enough to say this out loud, and I'm just going to be, it's always because of the expectations that I have for myself or the expectations that I think others have of me. And, and if I procrastinate it long enough, maybe I'll get rid of that feeling. Maybe it'll go away. It never does. but in my head, that's kind of the hope. So I think those are so true and really kind of come back to that.
No, and I'm right there with you, Andy, which is why I think I'm so appreciative of just us having this conversation and that, you know, we met, you know, last week to kind of come together and say, hey, you know, we want to work on something together. What's it going to be? And then, you know, you sort of like immediately threw us in into this experience. Yes. And, you know, as we're like getting ready and, you know, kind of just, you know, hit record, then I was like, oh my gosh, like what are we even doing at this point in time? Like, you know, I need to seriously overthink this and analyze it before we put in like anything anywhere. Yeah. So I just want to say like, thank you for pushing it out, and, you know, taking me out of like, what is a comfort zone of procrastination, and putting it into full action. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, just know I'm pushing myself out of that place as well. It's definitely hard. Okay. So I think, man, that was perfect. Those three P's, definitely something to remember and think about as we kind of talk through what does this look like and what causes it. And then I think the next step is just to begin to have this conversation. Again, I don't have all of the answers right now, but thinking mm-hmm. about how do we support gifted learners? If we were going to talk about some things right now, some ways that educators could start supporting their learners, whether they're, you know, I think some gifted learners are already in burnout. And I think teachers can probably think of some learners that they know that is the case. And then I think we have some learners who aren't there yet, but like we talked about, some of my elementary students, I could see it coming, right? There were red flags, and I could see that burnout in their future. And so how can we support gifted learners to prevent burnout or even help them as they experience it or support them as they're experiencing burnout?
Yeah, well, you know, I think in true Andy fashion, you've already, you know, dropped secret number one. And that is, you know, we actually need to talk with our gifted kids about what giftedness is about, like mm-hmm. what their experience is. And I think far too often then giftedness is just this thing that's this big secret. And that's for, I think, a variety of different ways. Number one, in the field, there is a lot of disagreement about what it is and what it isn't, and whether we should be using the G word at not or not. I think it's important that we do and that we talk about what that individual experience looks like. I know that when I grew up through gifted programs, that it was something that was this total secret. And it really wasn't until I took my first course in gifted ed when I was becoming when I was working on my licensure for gifted in the state of Georgia, where I saw kind of some of those checklists and saw some of those different definitions of giftedness. And I saw really for the first time, the profiles of gifted that were put together by George Betts and Maureen Neihart. And I just remember kind of looking at that document and that list and those different ways of giftedness manifesting itself through their perspective. And I felt like I saw so many different chapters of my life, like right there, like in black and white. And I was like, why hasn't anyone ever talked about this before? Like, why didn't I know about it? It's almost like that I was given this instruction manual to my life. And I feel like if I had had that when I was 10, then things could have been a lot easier. So I think that thing number one is that we have to start that conversation early. Talk to our kids about their experience and let them know that being smart or being gifted doesn't mean doing things quickly and easily.
Yeah, I love that. I think a couple of things. I think one of the things that I'm really enjoying right now, and I actually shared this on Instagram the other day, but one of the things that I'm really appreciative of right now are the school districts that I get to go and talk to their teachers about gifted mm-hmm. education or whatever it is I'm sharing, but then the invite to stay for the evening and talk to parents as well. And gosh, I think that's so huge right now is to not just talk to teachers because they're not the only ones that carry the load, but really to help parents understand how they can support at home as well so that it does become like this partnership. And really even more than a partnership, it's the, you know, the teacher, the parent and the learner mm-hmm. and really everybody having, a role to play and everybody understanding what that role is and understanding what burnout is and how they can support. I think, what do you think about getting parents involved? I mean, it's a big deal.
I think 100% it has to be that part of that conversation. And I really love being able to do parent events. It's been exciting. I mean, if you can say that anything's been exciting about the past year and a half, now almost year and three quarters, is that I've had the opportunity even to do more virtual parent events. I don't know if you've had this experience of doing a parent kid event. That is ultimately where like the magic happens, because then you can talk about it from both perspectives. And it's really interesting because in that sort of space, you're able to say some things that from a kid perspective that the kids want the parents to hear. And then also from a parent perspective that the parents really want their kids to hear. And it's just, it's a powerful conversation starter because they are able to then kind of see each other's perspectives in ways that they weren't before, because they're so often in two different rooms.
Yeah, I've only done that once. And I agree. It was really that, it was that feeling of being able to, you could see when you said something that the kids were like, yes, can you say that louder for the parents in the back? Or when you'd say something to the, it was just, it was, that's very, very true. And I think that parents want to help. It's just, I think sometimes we assume that they know things they do not know. I remember I was doing an event for some parents not long ago. It was probably longer ago than I think it was, but we were having a conversation about twice exceptionality and what that is and what that looks like. And I could see on the camera that one of the parents was just starting to tear up, and she sent me a private message, and it was just something totally new to her that she had never heard of. And when she knew that it existed, all of a sudden there was clarity in what they were experiencing with their child. And it just felt so good to her to know that, hey, this is a thing. Like, we're not alone in this. And so I think people probably assume that they knew that their child was twice exceptional, or maybe assume that they knew even what that was, and they didn't. And so when she had a name for that, all of a sudden there was clarity, and that was huge for me. So I definitely think assuming parents know things is a mistake, because they may be in a different profession and they just, you know, they don't hear the words or go to the conferences or see the presentations that we see. I would also say one of the things that I am really, I mean, it's not a secret, I'm really passionate about is productive struggle and making that a priority.
That's literally the next thing that's on my list. So. No, go ahead.
No. See, Brian and I joke, we share a brain. And so sometimes we just say the same things. So I'm just going to say productive struggle for me, I think, is really valuable. So what would you say to that, Brian? Go ahead and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I just think that it is so incredibly important that we give our kids challenge. And when we do that, then we're not saying like, oh, we're just going to, you know, toss you into the deep end and, you know, let you fend for yourself. But instead, I think, you know, in a true, you know, Vygotsky sort of approach, that we really have to scaffold that experience for them, that we're giving them something that is of challenge that's also going to significantly stretch them. And then when they're in that struggle, we are there to support them, not to give them the answers, not to, you know, just laugh at them as they flail about and cry. Although sometimes that's really tempting, because it's just like, oh gosh, like, look, you're really struggling with this. That is amazing. But to support them, I think through that process. In the past several years, I've kind of been talking about different types of teachers in many of my presentations. And generally when we're learning to become teachers, then we're trained. There are two types of teachers. There's the sage on the stage, and then there is the guide on the side. And I thought that I had actually made this up, but it turns out that there are no original thoughts, and I guess I read it somewhere along the way. Apparently, it was actually part of an article by Erica McWilliam back from 2009, and she says that there's, in addition to the sage and the guide, that we have the third type of teacher, which I think really is representative of most teachers of the gifted, and that is the meddler in the middle. That we're there in the struggle with our students, learning through the process, that we let them know that we don't have all of the answers, but that we're constantly going to be pushing them and learning and experiencing those joys and pains of that learning process right there along with them. And I think that is really important that our gifted kids, especially our kids that perhaps are prone to this burnout, that they realize that learning isn't something that stops, that it is something that is continuous and ongoing, and it's just part of life, and that we always have to be in search of those answers, and we always have to try to do more and be better.
And that's hard, right? Like, as an educator, I think sometimes when we are not that sage on the stage, we feel like we're not doing our job. Like, wait, I'm supposed to be. But the reality is, if we don't put them in this place where they're experiencing that struggle, they don't see that success and struggle are parts of the learning process. They just see success, especially gifted learners. I'm supposed to be successful. I'm supposed to get it right. And when I don't, there must be something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And what I think what we sometimes forget is that if that's, they're at school 7 hours a day, if that's the reality at school, that begins to become their reality outside of the walls of the classroom. And they start to think, oh, if I don't do this well, then I just am not going to do it at all. I think about my own kids and just some of the things that they struggle with. And if something is uncomfortable to them, they just don't want to do it at all because they would just rather not feel that discomfort. But when I push them to those places of, hey, you know what, let's just try it, and they do it and they feel that success, they almost learn more in that process than they do versus just getting it right the first time. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I think one of the things that I have often thought about and talked about is the different experience that our kids have when they are in school versus when they are playing video games. Mm-hmm. When they are playing video games, like, it is honorable to be involved in that struggle, and that you don't want things to be too easy, or otherwise, like, yeah, that's like a super boring game. Right. But you want to be in those situations where, like, it's hard, like, it's really, really hard, and you have to ask for help, and you have to watch all the YouTube videos in order to, like, you know, learn how it is that you're gonna, like, get past that level, and, you know, make sure that you conquer the boss. You ask for a lot of help, and you fail time and time and time and time again until you get it right. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. School's not necessarily set up that way, and that, oh, you do it one time, you have to get an A on it. And it doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah, they even talk about them differently. I remember hearing Don Wetrick one time say that, you know, kids don't come to school and talk about the easy video games. Like, nobody comes to school and is like, you know, oh, I won it on the first try. It was awesome. They talk about the difficult video games and they're like, oh my gosh, it was so challenging. And they talk about different strategies they've used and they're willing to do that. But not very often in school do they say, oh, Mr. So-and-so's class is so hard, you have to take that class. Disconnect there. There's a reason in video games that they're willing to fail and struggle over and over and over again. And I think that's a good conversation. There's actually a great TikTok video that a kid shares on hashtag gifted kid burnout. If you come across it, it's just, he's talking about video games and this guy is sharing exactly what you just said, Brian, that idea of, you know, why is it that gifted learners enjoy video games and they're willing to struggle and fail there, but maybe not at school. So that's a very, very important conversation. That's a whole nother webinar. Look, we could do it. We could do a series. Okay.
I would love that.
So I think that's such a good conversation. Okay. Last question that I want to make sure that we answer, and then we'll shut it down. Gosh, we could talk all day about this. But just as we kind of, as Brian and I wanted to kind of start this conversation, because this is not the end, right? This is just like us saying, hey, this is a thing and we want to talk about it. How big of an impact, Brian, do you think gifted kid burnout can have on the school experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, where we started was, this isn't anything that's necessarily new. We're just shining a new light on it. Actually, we're not shining a new light on it. Like, our kids, teens and young adults are shining a light on it. And we're just trying to be aware of what they're going through. I mean, we've long seen sort of the slippery slope into underachievement that many of our young gifted kids have had, especially as they progress through school. And I think that more and more teachers just need to be a part of that conversation, and that we need to be more aware of that. I think that the other thing that has really been a big concern for me in the past few years is how gifted programs don't necessarily effectively support the academic and social emotional needs of their students across the K-12 experience. I think that generally we do a fantastic job at the elementary level with our students that are identified, and we serve them in 4 or 5. Like, it's good. And then middle school happens and we start kind of reorganizing those services and kind of pulling back on them. And in most places, by the time they reach high school, they have very, very few options, most of which are not really for gifted. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the time in their development that they perhaps need gifted services the most. And if we're looking for a way to really have this significant impact, I think we have to have the conversations early, often, and over the course of their entire school program.
Mm-hmm. Man, I think that's so important. And I think that's something we can start doing right now. And for me, when I think about how big of an impact this burnout can have on the school experience, I think it's huge. And I think it's something that we've seen for a long time. We just didn't really know what they were experiencing. And I think a couple of things. I think one of the things that we have to start doing is letting their voice be more of a part of gifted programming. So if you have a gifted program at your school, hopefully there is one, thinking through, hey, how can we have a student support group or a student advocacy group that they tell us, hey, this is working for us and this isn't working for us. I think that's a good idea, not just for gifted learners across the board, but just asking them, hey, what do you appreciate about the gifted program and what would you like to see done differently? And then actually responding to that feedback. I think that's the key, right, Brian? Like, we see these things on TikTok and it's okay to look at it and be like, man, that's really sad. But we have to instead look at it and go, man, this isn't okay. Like, we have to now start having a conversation about this. And then I think my other thing that I'm really passionate about right now, just in education as a whole, is making purpose a priority. Like, them just understanding why this is important and what they can do with it beyond the walls of the classroom. And I think when we think about gifted education, especially in middle school and high school, they really should be working toward creating products and portfolios and things that they can use beyond the walls of the classroom that connect to something that they're interested in or passionate about. I mean, or I'm always going to go there. I just think it's so important. But that purpose, I think could help a little bit with gifted kid burnout. I think that remains to be seen, but I do think it's a conversation worth having for sure.
Definitely. And I think that we acknowledge that this is just the beginning, and that we really want to have so many of you as part of this conversation, because like Andy and I don't have the answers. You know, this is something that we see as an issue. Mm-hmm. And it's something that that we really want to be a part of a big solution for as many people as we possibly can reach.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed. So I just want to say thank you, Brian, for being here. I always love having conversations with you and just talking through, hey, exactly what you just said. Hey, we may not have the answers, but let's just have the conversation. And if you're watching right now, I know a couple of people have put in the comments, Diana, Sheila, we see you guys and we're excited that you were here. Brian and I don't know where this is going to lead. I'm sure there will be more conversations and lots of other things that we definitely want to put out on this topic. But I just want to tell you guys to make sure that you are looking for that hashtag Gifted Kid Burnout. Just see what they're saying and think about what does that mean for you in your classroom or on your campus or in your district. We just appreciate the work that you guys are doing so much in the classroom. If we can help in any way, you can always reach out to either one of us. Our Twitter handles are on the screen. We'd love to continue this conversation. So, Brian, thank you for taking time out of your day. I didn't know if you had any last thoughts you want to share.
No, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. And I'm really looking forward to continuing the discussion and really having some major work steps forward in 2022.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see where this leads. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being here. I hope this helps you find a little meaning in your mess. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.